Organic farming is steadily increasing. That's good.
Pour parler d'agriculture et d'Europe à la jeunesse.
Der Klimawandel erfasst immer weitere Teile der Welt.
Farmers help us bring nature back and preserve biodiversity.
Ceux qui sont dans le rouge s'en sortent quand ils font plus vert.
La qualité dans ce pays, elle doit être là pour tous.
The foundation of every state is the education of its youth. So said the Greek philosopher Diogenes. And that's especially the case more than 2,000 years later when it comes to farming and rural life in Europe. Our continent faces grave risks unless a new generation embraces agricultural learning, takes up farming, and revitalizes our countryside. But given what we know about the precarious situation of young people working in agriculture and living in rural areas, we'd be forgiven for becoming cynics like Diogenes himself. The situation is bad and getting worse, which is why it's a priority for the European Commission's Directorate General for Agriculture and Rural Development, DG Agri. To tie in with European Youth Week, we're looking at the challenges and opportunities facing young people in rural areas and listening to some young, authentic voices from the countryside. So come with us for this 43rd episode of Food for Europe. Before we listen to those voices, we'll hear first from DG Agri and Aude Blanc, who's a specialist in generational renewal and young people in rural areas. Aude, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I mentioned at the start about the alarming information relating to young people in agriculture and the countryside, and this is not the first time we've featured this topic on Food for Europe, but take us through the facts again.
Today we see that the farming population is aging, with an average of 57 years old. So that's a big challenge to encourage young people to come and to start in agriculture. So in 2020, we could see that only 11% of the head of holdings are under 40 years old, and only 3% of them are female young farmers. So we need to attract young people for the future of the sector and for European food security and sovereignty.
And so what specifically are you focusing on? What's the bigger picture?
A big challenge that we have in rural areas in general is to attract them due to the opportunities. So the job opportunities for agriculture, but not only, also in the living conditions, because the services are missing, like healthcare, education, culture, social opportunities to meet for young people, that is really important. And in addition, on top of that, for young farmers, it's difficult to access to land, but also access to credit. So we need to support young people to stay and also to come back to rural areas or to come, because, of course, it's not only for the people that grew up in such areas, but also for them if they want to change their way of living or having new opportunities.
So although, as you pointed out, the number of young people in farming is worryingly low, your work in the Commission to rejuvenate rural areas goes beyond just agriculture.
Yes, indeed. Our objective is to support everyone that wants to live in rural areas, not only agriculture, because they are essential to have living and vibrant rural areas. And so, for instance, part of the Common Agricultural Policy, the CAP, as we know it, we have the programme LEADER, where you can have many possibilities to get support. And also, we have business startup. So if a young person wants to come back or to come or to launch something in a rural area, he can get support for it, and it will be essential for rural areas to have new activities, because they can also be really innovative.
Now, later in the programme, we'll be at the main European Youth Week event, to which the Directorate General for Agriculture and Rural Development has contributed. But before we get there, just take us through what you're up to there.
There are many breakout sessions and activities stands really to allow young people to meet together and to discuss. And here at DG Agri, we organise a session on youth in rural areas in agriculture, what we aim to is to get feedback from young people from their own experience in rural areas in agriculture, and also from different perspectives, and to also have the ideas for the future, and that will help us really to foresee the future of developments.
Aude Blanc, thanks a lot, and we'll be back with you towards the end. Now, we've spoken to a couple of young people at the forefront of efforts to make our countryside a place where young people can stay in, return to, or even discover anew as a place to live and work. We go first to Ireland.
My name is Marie. I am living in Dunamore in County Cork. So it's a small rural parish. It has five little villages, a very rural area, about 25 minutes from the nearest city. Not quite in a mountain, but it's more surrounded by mountains. And yeah, it's a really nice and scenic place to live. So I'm actually a primary school teacher. So I'm teaching in a school about 20 minutes away from me, in an even more rural place. What I love most about living here is that there's such a sense of community around the place. Like, you'd go to mass on a Saturday evening and you'd be chatting away to people on the way out. We run bingo on a Saturday night and I'd help out at that quite a bit. I suppose even going for a walk, you'd always meet one of the neighbours and they always have such an interest in what you're up to, what you're doing, how work is going. Do you know, they just, everyone has a real interest in each other, which is lovely. I suppose I also love the fact that it's so peaceful, so quiet. Like, the only traffic that passes my house at home is a couple of cows here and there.
Well, maybe the lack of traffic has its charms, but it can also have its drawbacks, as Marie explains.
I suppose the major challenge for young people, particularly in my area, is the lack of public transport. If you don't drive, you're very limited in where you can go and what you can do. Our nearest university is half an hour away in our nearest city in Cork. And there's only one bus in and one bus out every day. And if you're in first thing in the morning and you don't have a lecture again till the afternoon, you're kind of stuck there for the day. We're not top of the list when it comes to increasing levels of public transport. Like, even one extra bus in and out of the city every day, I think would make such a difference to people living in our locality in particular.
Marie is involved with Macra na Ferm, the largest rural youth organisation in Ireland, which is, for many young people in this largely rural country, a kind of social glue that holds community life together.
I am the chair of the Musgrie region. We meet once a month. And then each officer kind of goes back to their own club, shares what we're up to, shares what other clubs are up to. And I suppose it's just an outlet to meet like-minded people from different areas. So we could be organising anything from, say, national rounds of competitions, social nights. We organise agricultural talks, even first aid courses. Basically anything our members want and look for, we do our best to try and organise it. And yeah, we're just all very busy people, but all very passionate about what we do.
And it's a passion that Marie both shares and absorbs in her professional life.
I'm a teacher and I teach in a really small rural school, so there's only three teachers in the school. But I suppose that means that we can really delve into a lot of, say, local history, local heritage. The children know more about it than I do. They are so proud of their community and any events that are going on, they know all about it. It's lovely to see it at such a young age, like they're all only between 9 and about 13, that they're all just so proud of where they come from.
Thanks to Marie Wallace there from Ireland. And now to Spain, to hear from another young person working to reverse the trend of rural depopulation and youth desertion.
It's Matias, I'm 27 years old, and I'm one of those people that they moved from the city to a rural area. And since 6 years ago, I'm living in a small village at north of Spain. It's called Ucieda. It's near a lot of mountains and farmers and many amazing neighbors that you get to know when you move to a small village. What I like the most in living in a village is that we have a good connection on internet. And it sounds like, maybe that's not the first thing to say in a village, but when you are a young person and you really want to live in a rural community, you need to have like basic services. So at our village, we have fast internet now, and this allow us, many young people that we are moving there now, to telework. And this is fantastic because we can be working with our computers and then stop a video call, a meeting, and then go to the garden, just be there with the nature. So I think this connection between nature, between work, but also leisure activities, I think this is what I like the most, for sure, yes.
But just like Marie, Matthias was frank with us about some of the obstacles facing him and others who've chosen life in the countryside.
Life is not so easy sometimes because access for housing, it's completely a disaster at rural areas. It's so difficult to rent a house. It's so difficult to have our own house. And sometimes it's also a disaster because whenever you want to move from point A to point B, if you don't have a car, if you have less than 18 years old, or if you are an old person, then if there is no public transport, you cannot move. And it is a pity that many people really want to move to rural areas, but because of this lack of services, it's been hard to take this decision.
Facing up to these challenges has led Matthias to establish a community association that looks to support younger generations to explore and even to embrace rural life.
5 years ago, we created this local youth organization. We are developing this co-living project now, and young people living in crowded cities that they really want to move to a rural community, they can do it through our houses. So I think it's a fantastic idea because they are not alone. So they come to these co-livings, we share a house, and then we connect them with locals. So for example, if someone is willing to make cheese, they can telework in the morning, and then in the evening they can go with Raquel, she's a neighbor, and she makes amazing cheese. So this link between these newcomers and local communities, we do it through the land. We do it with the farmers, we do it with the people that are growing vegetables, making cheese, producing something that is linked to the territory.
And what's his vision for his community? Matthias was very clear about what's required.
We need more young farmers, for sure. Because the ones that they've been protecting the cultural to the natural heritage and keeping this identity, this community, these villages were farmers. And a lot of newcomers, they also want to be farmers. So the future will be somewhere where you can be a doctor in the village, but that you can also be a farmer, that you can be a lawyer, but you can also be someone growing vegetables, promoting nice food for your community. So I think we should go in these two directions.
Thanks to Matthias Rubio in Cantabria. Perspectives like those that Matthias and Marie have shared with us are vitally important for the future of rural life in Europe, and therefore, of course, to farming and food production. And so, as Uda was explaining earlier, that's why these questions are at the forefront of this year's European Youth Week event in Brussels. Okay, so where do I need to go?
The event will start at the Hemicycle.
Good morning and welcome to the Hemicycle of the European Parliament for the launch ceremony of the European Youth Week for 2024.
Where MEPs normally sit and vote, there are now hundreds of young people from every corner of Europe ready to discuss their hopes and concerns, not least when it comes to rural life and the future of farming.
This European Youth Week is for you. And while you're at it, have fun. Get to know one another. Make friends. This is what Europe is all about. And vote.
An exhortation from the President of the European Parliament to these young people to vote in June's European elections. For many here, it'll be the first time they'll be voting to elect the MEPs that pass laws in this very chamber. There are several breakout sessions at the Youth Week event, including the one Udd mentioned earlier, focusing on youth in rural areas, a session which attracts many people from across Europe keen to share their perspectives and learn. And in fact, among our participants are a teacher from rural Ireland and a farmer from rural Spain. Yes, indeed, it's welcome back to Marie and to Matthias, both of whom have come from their respective countries to Brussels to this European Youth Week event in the European Parliament, and both of whom have been sharing their experiences and offering their views on what needs to be done at all levels of governance to put young people front and centre in the rural renaissance that the European Union is aiming to support with its policies. Marie, first to you. Tell me about the breakout sessions you've just attended here. What did you learn? What did you contribute?
Yeah, so this morning I attended a session on mental health and well-being and what schools can do about it. So it was a really interesting discussion this morning with a lot of people who are students, teachers, people who've finished school and are now working, and kind of what they learned about mental health and well-being in school and what can be done to make it even better going forward. And the one I've just attended is all about how rural and agriculture play a huge part in Europe as well.
Does it make you feel you've made the right decision to live and work in the countryside?
Definitely. So I suppose I've grown up in the countryside and lived there my entire life, bar when I went to university myself. And from speaking to people here, they all have a lot of similar opinions about it. All about the community aspect and how they play a role in their communities themselves to make it all a better place, which I really relate to.
So being here today in Brussels, what's the one thing you want to say to policymakers?
I suppose they really need to invest in rural infrastructure like public transport, broadband, making spaces available to people to work from home as much as possible to keep them in the rural areas. I think that's probably the most important.
Matthias, over to you. You've been involved for some time in shaping policy at European level towards young people in rural areas. What can you say about your participation in today's event here in Brussels?
I think it's a very long path. You know, we've been struggling to have our voice, and it is good that we come to the European level also to see that people are people and are humans like us, and they are super nice people. But come on, when they ask us to have our say, yeah, when we have our say, we want them to do something to create better rural communities.
But it must feel good to be around other young people who share your commitment, that same commitment to rural life and livelihoods.
Yeah, and I think that's the basic thing that we need to do. It's like to organize ourselves, to create associations, to create organizations, to go together. We've been saying this. If it's not fun, it's not worth it. That if you cannot share it, you will not stay at rural areas. So everyone wants to have friends. And here on the European level, okay, we are maybe a bit nerds of democracy, but come on, it's good to go together.
And what's your number one priority to stress to the politicians and officials who you've met this week who are shaping EU policy on farming and rural development?
Young people need to be in the centre of the table, because we are the one with more precarious lifestyle, with more issues when coming access to housing. So come on, if we want really good rural areas, we need people there. So please put it in the centre and let's work together.
A final word from DG Agri. Udd, we couldn't leave you out. You started our podcast in the studio, and now you'll wrap it up here in the European Parliament. What will you take back to your colleagues from today's event?
I will take back the energy and optimism that we can see today, really from all the young people in the hemicycle this morning, but also from the session on rural youth and agriculture. Now I get a lot of hope about the future and opportunities that young people will have, the energy they will bring to make rural areas like more vibrant and active and nice to live in. And also I take back home about the next elections, that I really think people will go to vote.
What can you say about the role of member states in supporting the aspirations of young people like Marie and Matthias living in the countryside? It's not just down to the Commission, is it?
Exactly. We work closely with member states, especially for our CAP strategic plans. But there are plans. So on generational renewal, we give them a menu and they can choose what interventions are the best for the territory. But at some point, they have to really implement comprehensive and complete strategies and to also use national and local measures for that.
How confident do you feel about the place and the role of young people in rural areas being part of this event today? Because you yourself are a young person from rural France. How has it made you feel?
It's true. I come from a rural village in the south of France, and I really feel that young people must empower themselves and hear their voice also at the EU level, because young people are the future of the EU. We are the future decision makers and actors, and that's our future, that is our end. So really, I think we can trust and ourselves and really go for it and go to the EU and say what we want.
Well, that comes back to what you were saying, Aude, about voting in the forthcoming European election. Thanks to you, to Marie and to Matthias for your contribution to our podcast and to European Youth Week. And we wish you all the best in your respective roles, shaping a policy that we neglect at our peril, the future of our food systems, our environment, and even our European way of life. That's all for this episode of Food for Europe. Join us again soon when we'll be looking ahead to the European elections and how agriculture and rural life are shaping the political landscape ahead of this vitally important democratic exercise. We look forward to your company.
Organic farming is steadily increasing. That's good.
Pour parler d'agriculture et d'Europe à la jeunesse.
Der Klimawandel erfasst immer weitere Teile der Welt.
Farmers help us bring nature back and preserve biodiversity.
Ceux qui sont dans le rouge s'en sortent quand ils font plus vert.
La qualité dans ce pays, elle doit être là pour tous.